Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Stuart. Hi, this is Stuart Acuff with Utility Workers Union of America, asking you to tune in every time you can to Bob Carson's Carson's Corner, one of the best pro-labor shows in America. We love it at Utility Workers. We love it across the AFL-CIO, and we're grateful to Bob for coming on and holding up our issues and holding up our principles and values.
My name is Angelo Carasone, better known as Stop Back on Twitter, and primarily I spend my time trying to debunk right-wing lies that permeate our media, and there's, you know, one of the places that we do it is on Bob Carson's show.
This is Lamar Waldron, the author of Ultimate Sacrifice and Legacy of Secrecy, those two books, the latter of which will become a movie produced and starring Leonardo DiCaprio in 2013, and you are listening to Carson's Corner with Bob Carson on Underground Progressive Radio.
This is Les Leopold, the author of How to Make $1 Million an Hour, and I just want to tell you that you'll get a rich and rewarding experience by listening to Carson's Corner.
This is Greg Pallas, reporter for BBC Television and Democracy Now, and author of the new book Vultures Picnic, In Pursuit of Petroleum Pigs, Power Pirates, and High Finance Carnivores, and you're listening to Carson's Corner on 5:30 a.m. Underground Progressive Radio, radio for the 99%. Help us occupy the airwaves and support Carson's Corner and support 5:30 Underground Progressive Radio.
Hi there, this is Justin Ray Harvey of J. Ray Radio and the co-host of Carson's Corner with Bob Carson. We have an announcement. We are no longer affiliated with Underground Progressive Radio 5:30 a.m. Even though we've had a critical change in the programming, our programming will remain the same. Times are subject to change, so just sit back and enjoy the program as you normally would. The only change is we've grown bigger and better, and like I said, we no longer support or advertise Underground Progressive Radio 5:30 a.m. in any way. Thank you, and show some respect.
Hi, this is Frank Schaefer, author of Sex, Mom, and God. You're listening to Carson's Corner, a show I enjoy. I hope you enjoy it, too. I encourage you to listen.
Hello, and this is Carson's Corner. My name is Bob Carson. Pleased to have you with us here today, this Tuesday night at 11 p.m. I want to also tell you about we have a very, very good independent website in the commonsprojectnetwork.com that we are working with. And this is a website where you can receive independent media. Not corporate-owned, not corporate sponsors. There's no capital behind this site. It's just independent broadcasters voicing their opinion, and it's very, very important. You have a lot of people on that site that are, you know, fed up with the system, myself included. There's a lot of radio shows out there and webcasts, and I encourage you to go to thecommonsprojectnetwork.com to really get good, solid progressive programming, stuff that you're not going to see on the corporate-driven media, okay? It's very, very important. My name is Bob Carson, as I told you, and we have the chat room open for you, and I hope that the show is loud and clear out there. We're waiting for Jay Ray to call in. He's the co-host of this program, and he's going to should be calling in momentarily. I bought a new laptop, and basically, you know, because we've been having audio problems with the show, it has to do with my USB ports, my headset, which I'm broadcasting from now. And so I brought this new laptop today, in preparation for the show. And the thing is, it's a Windows 8 laptop. It's very, very difficult to use. So I wasn't able to use the new laptop for the show. I'm broadcasting via the old laptop, but I have new headphones now. And so I just want to see if this is coming out on air. If anybody out there can chime in the chat room or give me a call, 347-326-9749, 347-326-9749, that's the number. And I just want to make sure that we're having everything come out on the air, because I'd hate to be broadcasting and then, you know, finding out that it's dead air. So with that, we're just going to do some audio tests. We have a lot to talk about here tonight. I want to talk about the current state of our economy, you know, some recent court decisions, and a lot to talk about here on Carson's Corner. So we're going to take a brief time out. We'll come back right after this message.
Get over here!
Television and Democracy Now, and author of the new book Vultures Picnic, In Pursuit of Petroleum Pigs, Power Pirates, and High Finance Carnivores. And you're listening to Carson's Corner on 5:30 a.m. Underground Progressive Radio, radio for the 99%. Help us occupy the airwaves and support Carson's Corner and support 5:30 Underground Progressive Radio.
We're back live here on Carson's Corner in conjunction with the CommonsProjectNetwork.com. My name is Bob Carson. 347-326-9749 is the number for you to be a part of the program. We also have the chat room open for you as well. We welcome anybody to chime in the chat room. And I want to tell you briefly, you could follow me on Facebook at facebook.com/BobCarsonMMA. All right, what have we got going? You know, I got to tell you, just on a personal note here, I recently had to... I went to a job interview, and this was for a job that was right by my house, and it was a well-paying job, okay, probably the biggest paying job I've ever had in my life. It was a union job, okay, you had to join the union. The union dues were not that bad, you know, it was a biweekly basis, and there was a union rep on site, and so anybody that's familiar with labor knows that having a union rep on site is good. You know, it's good for the workers. You can air out your complaints. You can let them know if anybody is harassing you, and it's just good. Your unions are democracy in the workplace. Your unions provide rights to workers in workplaces, because workers in workplaces are ultimately slaves. I mean, it's the God's honest truth. You know, corporations, as Noam Chomsky says, are close to totalitarian regimes, as we can experience. It's a top-down control where the investors and shareholders and executive staff of the corporations are basically in control of everybody's life. And you're not free. You have to do what you're told, and your responsibility to your employer never ends. You know, I mean, your job description never ends, and the only responsibility that your employer has is to pay you a wage and adhere to really minor laws out there, just insignificant laws, basic, you know, human rights. We want to separate ourselves from the sweatshops out there, but ultimately we're not too different from the sweatshops out there. And, you know, so unions have brought about rights over the past, you know, hundreds of years that we would never experience if it had been left up to capital. And so, you know, I really felt good about this job. I really felt that I had a decent shot of getting it. I had three interviews, and all of them went well. I took a keyboard test, you know, the typing test that they give you, and everything went well. And then I get this generic email the other day that said that I wasn't selected. They had selected another person for the job. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, why would I even think that I'm going to get this job? Why would I have any belief that I'm actually going to get this job? Because look at the labor pool out there. Now, you look at what these corporations have been able to do to our labor pool out there, and you understand that nowadays, you know, for every job out there that's available, you have 5 or 10 people that are looking for work. You have these corporations that can choose from, you know, any number of people, which puts a downward pressure on wages. And so now it's like, you know, we're all competing for the few scraps that are available out there. And you don't have a shot anymore. You don't have a shot at a decent wage, because we as a society starting with the late 70s, we have decided that instead of doing what's the best in what's the best interests of the workers, the vast majority of Americans who make a living, you know, by receiving earned income, we've decided that we're going to do in what's the best interests of the corporations. And corporations are essentially creatures gobbling up as much profit as they can. Now, corporations do not care about human need. They do not care about the community. They don't care about anything except making a profit, satisfying their investor class, so on and so forth. And one of the ways that they make a profit is to tilt the playing field against workers. We've talked a lot about our so-called free trade agreements going back to, you know, the Clinton days, where we allow transnational corporations to basically write our trade policies. It used to be in America that one country that had a particular resource would trade with another country that had another resource that maybe the country didn't have. And that was the whole idea of free trade. And now it's intra-company trading. It's where one corporation sets up shop overseas, sets up a subsidiary, driving the cost of labor to pennies an hour, making these products, you know, using foreign labor, then re-importing them back into the United States and selling them. And this has diluted the workforce. This has put us into a situation where you're competing with just a ridiculous amount of people for a limited number of jobs. And again, this puts a downward pressure on wages. And so this is what we have now in this country, where you don't have a shot at getting a decent job anymore. You really don't. I mean, even with an advanced college degree, believe me, I have an advanced college degree. I'm continuing my education. But it doesn't matter. It really doesn't, because the deck is completely stacked against us. I mean, do you realize just how difficult it is to be an American now? Do you realize that to raise a child in this country, and it's not going to get any better, it's only going to get worse, It's terrible. I mean, it's just ridiculous. The value of a dollar, the cost of living, the limited amount of jobs, the amount of debt that we have to incur just to survive, and debt equals submission to employment. All of these different things have just completely downgraded our quality of living. And it's not getting any better. It's getting worse. And still, you know, there's no type of revolution. I don't see any type of social movements out there. I mean, they're scattered, but by and large, the economy is still the way it is. And it's only getting worse. We're going in the opposite direction. And so, you know, I'm just, as you are, brought to a low common denominator in terms of work. And I'm just getting completely fed up. I really am. I was really, really disappointed because, you know, money is everything. The more money you make, the better your life is, because everything is dependent upon money. You know, you need money to live. You do not control your ability to make money. There are things that you do control. We do have a certain amount of control over our lives, but making money is not something we control because there are external factors that are beyond our control. You know, we don't have control over our trade policies. As I've said, we have deindustrialized for the past, you know, 3 or 4 decades. We give our economic sovereignty to multinational corporations that do not have a loyalty to this or any country. We do not have control over our tax system, which is highly, highly regressive. Right now, the government is more reliant on payroll taxes, state and local taxes, and earned income, which is, you know, people like you and I going to work and getting a paycheck, you know, or a salary or a wage, and the government deducts money from our paycheck before we get it. Now, you look at someone like Mitt Romney, you look at the Wall Street class where they decide when they're going to pay taxes, they decide what they're going to pay taxes, and, you know, there's just a whole host of loopholes and allowable deductions that these vultures take, and it ultimately means that we have to pay more in taxes. Don't forget, the United States tax code is over 70,000 pages. And it's 70,000 pages or more because the special interests depend on loopholes to drive a truck through so that they can, you know, these laws can benefit their clients and everything. So, you know, we have that to contend with. We have a lack of unionization, which has been deliberate. We have a system of labor control, as Joe Burns talks about in his book, Reviving the Strike, where our laws are written and interpreted and implemented to contain labor, nothing more, okay? And this limits the mobility of workers, but gives excess, gives carte blanche to the mobility of capital. All host of different things. You know, we're moving towards fascism. And, you know, this has really, really destroyed our quality of life. And, you know, now I can't tell you the living conditions that I'm experiencing right now. It's I'd almost rather be living in the woods right now. It's so bad. It's so disgusting where I'm at, but this is all I can afford right now. Now, I can't afford to live on my own, you know, and I just don't see anything getting better at this point. All right, we're going to take a brief time out. I don't know where J-Ray is. I'm trying to get a hold of him. I want to see if I'm able to come out on air. I don't want to be talking, you know, for nothing here. So let me try to get in touch with him. We'll be right back here on Carson's Corner.
What do your status updates say? You're learning a new language? Going all organic? Instead of typing your feelings, what if you could put them into action? By creating a network to help keep kids off the streets, in a country like Armenia, or in Honduras, what if every ounce of your being helped update the status of a person, and in turn they did the same for you? Would this be enough social interaction? Life is calling. How far will you go? Peace Corps. Get interactive at peacecorps.gov/game.
This is Les Leopold, the author of How to Make $1 Million an Hour, and I just want to tell you that you'll get a rich and rewarding experience by listening to Carson's Corner.
We're back live. Hopefully you can hear me over the air. I still don't have confirmation as to whether or not I'm being heard over the air. This is very, very important here because I don't want to be broadcasting for nothing. We've had technical difficulties over the last couple weeks. And I'm trying a new thing now, and you know I don't have anybody in the chat room or anything to tell me if I'm coming out over the air, so I'm just going to keep on broadcasting, and hopefully you're hearing all the important things that I'm saying right here on Carson's Corner. 347-326-9749, 347-326-9749. We're just kind of talking about general issues here about what it's like to be an American now and how things like income inequality and the lack of upwards mobility really impacts everybody. And, it all fits in to what we're talking about here where, you know, basically now we have a system of wage slavery. And, you know, Tom Hartman was talking about this on his show yesterday. And, you know, I got to tell you, the Attorney General, Eric Holder, I was very, very pleased with his decision to really reexamine the way that we impose sentencing for drug offenders on the federal level. because I think this all ties into what we're talking about here, where we have a prison system that is completely out of whack. We have, 25% of the prison population, even though we only have 5% of the world's population. And, you know, the sentencing for drug use in this country and drug possession is really out of whack. Let's go to J-Ray. Let's see if we can get him online. Justin, are you there?
Hey,
Justin.
Bob.
Oh, great. You can hear me. Can you hear me?
I can hear you, Bob. Can you hear me?
Yes. Okay, great. So then I've been, if I can hear you, we can hear each other, then we're coming out over the air. This is great. I can't tell you. You know, for the last 20 minutes or so, I wasn't sure if I was coming on the air.
Wow. Hey, Bob, I'm not feeling well tonight, but I'm going
okay.
to call in to make sure things is working.
Yes. Well, listen, thanks a lot, J-Ray. I really appreciate it. And you don't sound yourself, man. You know, I know you got a headache and everything like that, and so I don't want to keep you. But thank you for calling in, at least confirming that I'm on the air.
Absolutely.
All right, brother. I'll talk to you tomorrow or later on tonight.
Okay, brother.
Thank you, J-Ray.
Thank you.
All right, big thanks to J-Ray there for calling in. Okay, so at least now I know that I'm on the air. Very, very important here. But, going back to the drug laws and everything, and now, you know, I haven't done too much research into this, but with federal drug cases, the amount of possession that someone has or had in their possession is not going to be listed until the sentencing. And I think this is important because what we're seeing right now is an increase in the prison population in general. I mentioned the statistics of how many people we have in prison. And this is really, you know, part of the deindustrialization of America, part of the economic policies that we've pursued over the last 30-plus years, which benefit, you know, the very wealthy and the transnational corporations, undoubtedly. Because you didn't see this in, you know, the 50s, 60s, 70s. You didn't see the massive prison population that you see now. And the question is, why? You know, why do we have so many people in prison? I believe the majority of people in prison are there for nonviolent offenses, drug-related offenses. And the reason is, and Tom Hartman was talking about this on his program yesterday, is that when you have a surplus of workers, which is what we have in America, right? The unemployment rate, God knows where the unemployment rate is. It's very, very high. We have a surplus of workers, not enough jobs out there by design, not the result of the so-called free market. It is the result of transnational corporations that are, you know, being aided and abetted by, you know, right-wing fascist ideology put out there by, you know, very think tanks that are funded by these multinational corporations. And so, you know, we have just an excess supply of workers. People that just can't have jobs, you know, people that are necessitous, as we all are in some way. And the best thing for the ownership class to do is to, you know, profit off them. Let's make money off them. Let's, you know, trade stock on the basis of how many people we lock up, which is what we do in America. You know, Peter Joseph and the Zeitgeist films and Michael Rupert really kind of go into this in, I think, one of the Zeitgeist films, how our system is not based on efficiency. It's based on inefficiency. And one of the ways we know this is looking at the prison population, where the private corporations like, you know, Wackenhut, these corporations like Corrections America and other prison corporations are just making money off of the more people they lock up. And there's incentives for, you know, laws to be placed on the books punishing certain types of drug possession. There's business interests that are making money off of sending people to prison. There's no question about this. Now, there's the drug testing industry. There's, you know, various, as I mentioned, prison corporations. And I'm sure a whole host of other businesses that are making money off of locking people up, all in the name of a mighty dollar. And, you know, this is, I would consider, a new form of slavery now. You know, where do we really benefit from locking these people up as opposed to rehabilitating them? Do we really benefit by spending $80 billion a year? One study came out that pointed out that the fact that the federal government spends $80 billion a year locking people up. And you know something? This is, the American people are so far behind this issue because you don't hear an outcry about this. You really don't, because politically it is very, very advantageous for our politicians to speak about how tough they are on crime, right? How we want to lock them up and throw away the key. And nobody looks at the amount of money that we spend to incarcerate these people. Nobody looks at really the real reason why, you know, people are turning to this or are turning to that. They want to take a very, very objective view in everything. And that is really, it's unfortunate. It really is that, tough on crime and, you know, tough crime laws, it resonates with the American people, but it ultimately costs us a tremendous amount of money. And I'll tell you something. Wall Street crime, we're not tough on Wall Street crime. We're not tough on white-collar crime. And these types of crime are far more detrimental to our society than any street-level crime out there. There's no question about that. How many trillions of dollars have we spent bailing out Wall Street? How many times has Wall Street collapsed our economy? How many lives have been destroyed as a result of Wall Street? I mean, it's probably incalculable. It's probably to a degree in which we can't understand. And yet, they continue to do what they're doing because they own our laws. They have the ability to make their gambling and their illegal behavior legal, whereas we are in a race to lock up as many people as we can. And this is what we do with our excess workers. This is what we do. And it's, you know, I think there may be a political awakening here. I think people are starting to figure this out now and say, wait a minute, I don't want to be spending, you know, $80 billion a year, I believe, locking up, you know, people. There's no value. There's no merit in that. It doesn't, you know, trickle through the economy or whatever. It just goes in the hands of these private industries. And it's just absolutely wrong. It really is. But, you know, this is not something that we saw before Ronald Reagan. It's not. And it really illustrates what type of society we become, where necessitous people are driven to do things that they wouldn't ordinarily do in a society that has a social safety net. Keep this in mind, ladies and gentlemen. We do not have a social safety net here in America. We don't. Compared to European countries where you don't have crime, you don't have certainly near the level of prison population that we have here in the United States, we do not. And what little social safety net we have is under attack every single day. It's under attack in every state house that's controlled by Republicans, and even Democrats are all too willing to go after the so-called social safety net every single day. It's really unfortunate. And now we have a system also in America because of our so-called welfare reforms, and because we like attacking the poor in this country. You have two-thirds of people in poverty that cannot get government assistance. I mean, this is, this is what's happening. This is the result of economic policies, Reaganomics, that are designed to, decimate any remaining small social safety net that we have. And so, you ask yourself, if you're in Detroit, look at what's happening in Detroit. You're in Detroit, and there's no manufacturing anymore. There are no jobs available. There's no tax revenue. Your city is being controlled by this corporate lawyer, the banker, who's just answering to the financial interests that have controlled your state legislature. You reject the financial manager at the ballot box, and yet your fascist governor, Rick Snyder, a few weeks later, passes another law that just totally ignores the will of the people. The people of Detroit have no say in their local government. What the hell does that do to you? How do you survive in that type of environment? How good is your quality of life going to be? How are we, how is Detroit going to possibly recover from this? The answer is it's not. It's not intended to. The answer is that what we're seeing in Detroit is going to be the template for every single, state out there that is being hurt by economic policies that have nothing to do with, pensions and this and that. This is what's happening, and I'm telling you, it's really getting worse, and we're nowhere near where we need to be. It's gotten to the point where elections don't matter in America. They really don't, not in this day and age. And I'm telling you, it's not a good time to be an American. It's really not. And again, all honesty tells me that we're probably not going to see an end to this. It's just going to get worse and worse and worse until, finally, there's going to be efforts, I predict, to privatize. I mean, there already is. Privatize police departments, privatize, fire hydrants, privatize this and that. And we live in a country where if they could privatize the air that you breathe, they would. They could privatize your vital organs and charge you money each month to have your organs work properly, they would, because that's the type of society that we live in right now. And that's what FDR called fascism, where that was his definition of fascism, where the government is controlled by private economic power. So whenever you hear one of these right-wingers talk about privatization, the private sector, understand that that equals corporatization, the corporate sector. Whenever you hear one of these libertarians that are so popular now, they're so ingrained in our discourse, this type of philosophy that only benefits the very wealthy, talk about get government off my back, get this, get that. What they're really talking about is get more private businesses and give them more control over our government and have private oppression rule. And that's what's happening right now. And that's the way this country is going until we make a difference. We'll be right back here on Carson's Corner. If you want to call in, 347-326-9749, 347-326-9749. We'll be right back, folks.
Hello, my name is Jim Gray, and I am a judge of the Superior Court in California and a former federal prosecutor in Los Angeles. I would like to talk to you for a moment about marijuana. Did you know that since the federal government first banned marijuana in 1937, usage in this country has actually gone up by about 4,000%? Or did you know that in the Netherlands, where adults are allowed to possess small amounts of marijuana and buy it from government-regulated businesses, fewer adults and fewer teenagers smoke marijuana than here in our country? Or that an American is arrested on marijuana charges every 38 seconds? If you are wondering if any of this makes sense, you are not alone. To find out more, contact the Marijuana Policy Project at 1-877-JOIN-MPP or visit them on the web at mpp.org. Thank you and good luck to us all.
Hi, this is Frank Schaefer, author of Sex, Mom, and God. You're listening to Carson's Corner, a show I enjoy. I hope you enjoy it too. I encourage you to listen.
Well, we're back here on Carson's Corner. My name is Bob Carson. I want to encourage you to check out the CommonsProjectNetwork.com, where you could find a lot of independent material, not corporate-owned, not corporate-sponsored, just people like me that are just being pushed around. The CommonsProjectNetwork.com. I know that you're probably very happy that Hillary Clinton has weighed in on the North Carolina state legislature passing the worst voter identification law in the country. It's has so many different provisions in this law. I don't know what the name of the law is. I'm just going off of memory here. I don't have anything in front of me. But as far as I understand, the North Carolina state legislature and the governor of North Carolina just signed a bill that would eliminate early voting by a few weeks. It would make certain types of ID mandatory and other types of ID invalid when trying to cast a vote. The North Carolina law would also eliminate same-day voter registration. It would do a whole host of other things. The governor, Pat McCrory, signed it, and immediately after they signed it, rightfully so, you've got many groups filing a lawsuit. Okay. Also ends pre-registration for 16 and 17-year-olds. It's just really, really disgusting. Are you happy? The folks over in North Carolina, do you see just how democracy is under attack? And this is, happening all over the country. It's not just happening in North Carolina. It's in Texas and other, Florida and whatnot. We're moving backwards. We are moving backwards. We're turning back the clock here in this country. And because this is what the political will wants in this country, the very dark forces, the dark money groups that are really trying to make this country into an even more fascist country, even more corporate control. They are sponsoring these type of efforts here because the wealthy do not want you and I to take away their wealth. They do not want you and I to have any type of power in our society, which is why they sponsor these type of laws, which is why they want to limit minorities from voting, which is why they're anti-union. It just goes on and on and on because we outnumber them. And because, they inherently believe that they're better than we are. They do. This goes back to Ayn Rand's objectivism, that the wealthy are wealthy because they work harder, they're smarter, they're blessed by God, and you know they deserve to be in control. You know, this is their land. We just live here. You know, they own the place. You know, and so you know they shouldn't have to pay taxes. You know, they shouldn't have to put up with pesky unions. They shouldn't have to do this. They shouldn't have to do that. You know, we're lucky to have them in our country. And so, you know, that's why we're seeing what we're seeing right now is this is the will of the dark moneyed forces that have really taken control over our government. And, you know what, another thing that bothers me, too, is that you look at all the attention that Governor Christie is getting, right? I mean, he's, you know, practically a hero. Everybody loves Governor Christie. It's really unbelievable, but people do. You know, oh, he's such a moderate, right? He's no moderate, of course, but has anybody even asked him about this? Has anybody even asked Governor Christie if he supports these racist anti-voting laws? I haven't heard one mainstream reporter, one corporate reporter ask him about this. I'm not saying it hasn't happened, but certainly it hasn't been too well publicized. It's kind of on the down low. And, you know, this is the guy who's probably going to get the nomination in 2016. This is a guy who probably has the best chance of any Republican to win the presidency. And nobody's asking him about this. My guess is that he probably supports these types of measures. The only reason why he didn't get it through the state legislature here is, you know, maybe for some political reasons. But rest assured, if Governor Christie wanted to impose these type of draconian voter ID laws here in New Jersey, he could do it. Because he could just roll over the Democrats in the state house, because they've really shown no backbone. They've succumbed to the corporate cash that is bankrolling Governor Christie. And again, this is just an example of how we're turning back the clock here on civil rights. We're turning back the clock on women's rights. We're turning back the clock on workers' rights. Everything is going in the opposite direction here. You know, even though the so-called liberal President Obama won in 2012, he won two presidential elections, it doesn't make a difference. It hasn't changed the direction of the country because the president doesn't have control. The president is a guy who's just reading from a teleprompter. In Ronald Reagan's case, he spoke to three teleprompters in different areas in the crowd. He's being told what to say. He doesn't have any control over what's going on. And so that's why elections don't matter. It doesn't matter. You know, until we change how we think, until we change, the very nature of our conversations, our ideas, until we reject certain premises, we're just going to continue to go against time and roll back the clock. And I'm telling you, it's really sad. It really is. But this is what I was talking about before, where this is a terrible time to be an American. It's a terrible time to raise your kid in this country because this country is disgusting. It's a cesspool now. It really is. And, you know, these things that we're seeing right now, these policies, these laws, the rolling back of rights, it's going to take decades, maybe generations to change, in my opinion. And you and I are going to be suffering. It really is. You know, so it almost becomes like, you almost become empathetic to this because it's like, well, okay, if nothing's going to change, if it's going to get worse, right, if we're just going to continue to go down this path, then I can have solace in knowing that everybody out there is like me. You know, pretty much everybody is in the same position I am in life. And I know this. I know this to be true. And so, in that sense, it takes the pressure off of you, but it's still, it doesn't matter. Because America is a train wreck. We're going off of a cliff here, and nobody's doing anything about it. Certainly no elected officials. You know, you got guys like me who are on my little soapbox trying to make a difference out there. You got people like the folks over at the commonsprojectnetwork.com trying to do something. But you know what? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter because we don't have any capital behind us. We don't have ownership of the means of production. All we have is our little soapbox, and that's really it. And there was one wise person that said that it's not about one big thing. It's about the millions of little things that go unnoticed that lead to change and whatnot. This was mentioned in Ralph Nader's latest book. I forget who the gentleman who said that was. But, you know, I don't know. I don't see a lot of little things happening. I just see us moving in the opposite direction. I really do. The only thing that gives me solace is the changing demographics in America where, you know, we're becoming less white. We're becoming more of a melting pot. The states that are you know, out there now are becoming blue states. They're not becoming red states, and that's, you know, purely because of the demographics in this country. That's what gives me hope, is that, yeah, you know, you have a racist right wing out there. You know, you've got a majority of white America that harbors resentments against, you know, black people, minorities, and whatnot, and that's why they support, you know, policies like stop and frisk, and that's why you hear so much talk about black on black crime and black culture and black this and black that. You know, you just hear that on the media nonstop. But those people are shrinking. And that's an absolute fact. And hate talk radio, fascist right-wing talk radio, is getting smaller. That's an absolute fact. That's good. Yeah, that gives me a little hope. But, you know, still, I thought we elected someone that was going to change things in Washington, D.C., that was going to bring about fundamental change. And we can't say that with President Obama. You know, President Obama has been very regressive in many areas. And look at who he's going to nominate to head the Federal Reserve, probably the most important appointment that he's going to make. Who do you think he's going to nominate? It's going to be the same guy that orchestrated the collapse of Wall Street, the arrogant hedge fund guy, Larry Summers, who was instrumental in the deregulation of Wall Street, a bullying figure, a man who, you know, again, aligned himself with Alan Greenspan, Robert Rubin, and the other, you know, well-oiled financial interests that rule the world. He's going to be the next chair of the Federal Reserve. He's going to have control of the money supply out there. And yeah, he's trying to write, you know, progressive columns for the Washington Post, but everybody knows who Larry Summers is. Everybody can look at his history. And he's going to be appointed to be the Federal Reserve from a so-called Democratic president. So what does that tell you about the state of the Democratic Party? What does that tell you about, you know, whose interests President Obama is serving? It tells me a lot of things, you know. And, you know, let's just assume that he does nominate Janet Yellen or, you know, somebody else. Well, if Wall Street doesn't like that person, if the very wealthy do not like that person, then they're going to find a way to get her out of there, or they're going to find a way to obstruct, which brings me back to my point that elections don't matter, that it doesn't matter, you know. And it's just, that's really, really unfortunate. But that's what's going to take place. You mark my words. We have to have an out-and-out fascist at the Federal Reserve. It's really unbelievable. My name is Bob Carson. You're listening to Carson's Corner here on Blog Talk Radio. We're also part of the CommonsProjectNetwork.com. Pleased to be with you here tonight. Hopefully you heard this program in its entirety and you didn't have to struggle to listen to the program. Justin was able to call in, so I'm assuming we had no technical difficulties. But that's going to be it for the show. I really have nothing else to discuss here. This is kind of a last-minute idea on my part to do a show. And so that's going to be it. I want to tell you again, you can friend me on Facebook at facebook.com/BobCarsonMMA. You can also follow me on Twitter at twitter.com/BobCarsonMMA. Until next time, ladies and gentlemen, show some respect.